The Fed deflator came in about what they expected. 0.3, 0.4 core versus headline numbers. So we're 2.8% year over year on the core, which is really what the Fed looks at. They say they look at. Most of that has come from shelter.
Get ready for a new episode of KP Talks Dollars and Cents. Learn financial literacy and get real-time updates on all things housing, finance, and real estate. So let's get started. Here's your host, Kevin Perenio.
Hey, it's KP coming to you live from Park City. It is late here on a Monday night. I brought my family here for ski week. I'm trying to give my kids a better life than I had growing up in Garland, Texas, which if you don't know where that is, north of Dallas, if you've ever seen the cartoon show King of the Hill, the city is Arlen because the producer and creator Mike Judge was from Richardson, the next town over, and they like to make fun of Garland, and that's where I'm from, believe it or not. And my parents are from even smaller towns in Louisiana, so I'm trying to give my kids a better life. I'm here for a couple days, also with some college friends, because it is about to get busy. Did anyone notice that today, Monday, was a monster lock day? It wasn't like the market broke one way or the other. It was just the beginning of the March part of spring purchase season. March closings are locking right now, and it's kicking off. It's kicking off for everyone. So it's snowing here on the street. I'm going to walk the street. I'm going to try not to get hit by a car. I want to talk about a couple things, housing, but I also want to talk about why I talk about the stock market so much, because my podcast is about mostly real estate and the real estate industry, but we do this to create wealth. And I was just fascinated when I saw Les Parker's TMS Spotlight the other day. He put out a post that said the top 1% of net worth earners in America, only like 11% of their net worth is from real estate. And I was floored because I always heard like 90% of millionaires did it from real estate, blah, blah, blah. The top 1% in America is worth $35 trillion. And I think it's something like 55% of their net worth or 61% of their net worth comes from stocks, equities. And I've been fascinated with equities since I was in college. In fact, I tried a straddle trade on Intel back in 1997 and thinking that, you know, betting ahead of earnings report that it would go one way or the other, and it just sat still. And so both the put and the call lost 100% of the value. So it was a very early first lesson. I've been trading since 97. The bottom 50% of net worth in America gets the majority of their net worth from real estate. And it's just, and the bottom 50% in America is only worth $7 trillion compared to $35 trillion for just the top 1%. Man, it's amazing. So anyway, let's talk about inflation. It does impact our interest rates. The PCE report's coming out Thursday, personal consumption expenditure, the Fed deflator. This is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. It is a big deal on Thursday, but we have five inflation reports before the next Fed meeting on March 20th. We have two different Michigan sentiment reports with the University of Michigan, national champions, which Texas is going to go kick their ass the second week of September. I digress. So Michigan has their final sentiment from the month prior and their initial for the next. We get another CPI and another PPI, which remember the January both surprised to the upside and caused a big stink in the stock market. Maybe the PCE this Thursday could also cause a little stink. We'll see. But it is a big deal to see how inflation is going and where we think, interest rates are going to go, because obviously the lower rates are, the more business gets done in the mortgage industry, period, full stop. So when we talk about what's going on in the mortgage industry, let's do a little house cleaning here. We could have a government shutdown Saturday. So the president tomorrow, Tuesday, is meeting with leaders on the Hill. And then everyone comes back from Congress Wednesday and they have 48 hours to vote. If they don't avoid a government shutdown, a partial shutdown, then FHA will be impacted. Our great folks, Pete Mills and the whole team at the Mortgage Bankers Association, we have a weekly call every Monday, and I was on it this morning. And, FHA is probably the most impacted part of our industry if there is a government shutdown. So we'll see. There's been a lot of continuing resolutions and partial resolutions to help kind of like make it work and get through. So hopefully we'll have another one of those by the end of the week. Inflation is a big deal. It is a huge driver of interest rates, Fed policy, and interest rates move our market big time. Okay, so let me talk about stocks for just a little bit. NVIDIA reported last week. I was talking about it. They beat again. Like, they've only missed three earnings reports, you know, in the last, I don't know, 10 years. So they just crush it all the time. The estimate was for $20 billion in revenue in 3 months. They did 22. The estimate was for them to forward guide $22 billion in the next quarter, and they forward guided $24 billion. So they're crushing it on earnings. Actual forward guidance. AI is not, it's not bullshit. It's a real deal. So we're going to continue to see that stock run for now. And interesting enough, almost all of the Q4 earnings reports have been done. And with them being done, there's been about $35 billion in net profit at the end of it. 7% average beat, okay? NVIDIA, number one. Amazon, number two. Of that $35 or $36 billion in net profits, the net at the end of all the S&P, everyone doing their earnings report, NVIDIA was number one with 30% of that. And Amazon was number 31%. And Amazon was number two with 30%. The bottom 15% was responsible for $33 billion in losses. But they netted out even those losses, those bottom 15% companies. A couple banks, two major banks, and a few healthcare companies. Energy companies, because oil prices were down, which that could obviously, you know, due to volatility, come back around and be up in Q1. I'm betting on it. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not responsible for your losses, only your profits. But it's interesting to see how all these companies report. And you know what? Earnings are working. So the market's working. Jobs are working. Inflation for now is working. Maybe inflation on this report is a little higher. I don't know if it's going to be sticky for longer. I don't know everything, but I can tell you that right now, this is what a soft landing looks like. And I think every day that goes by, the landing gets less soft. And so, you know, there's a lot of great data coming out. Obviously, the PCE is the biggest. We saw new home sales information out this morning. We're on the pace for 660,000 new homes. It's not enough, especially if rates go lower. 10-year Treasury is up in that 4.25, 24, 29, not really breaking over the 4.34 or the 441 levels. We're the highest 10-year, we're the highest bond price in the world. Other economies like, you know, in Europe and Japan, China, like they're flirting with recessions, and their version of their treasuries are not as high as our yield. So we're, you know, we're getting a lot of attention having a higher yield, getting a lot of money to come our way into fixed securities, but we are paying for it, the U.S. taxpayer, because those interest payments on that debt is enormous. So we're going to watch and see if the Fed, remember, the Fed's secret agenda, oh, it's not that secret because I'm talking about it on LinkedIn, my dumbass, is they're trying to sell bonds. They're trying to float the government. And we get a lot of people to buy our debt when we have the highest yield return in the world. But that can only last so long, especially when you have a stock like NVIDIA that goes up 50, 60% year to date. Like, yes, like on February 25th, 26th, it's gone up that much. Just the Magnificent Seven stocks, their yield on their cash is like 3.5%. So shouldn't the 10-year yield go higher than that? There's a chance that it will. So we're going to watch some of these things play out. Stocks, bonds, money flowing, it impacts what we do. We get a GDP read between now and obviously the Fed meeting. How's growth doing? Estimate is 3.3% this week for that. That's a pretty good clip. So a lot to watch for. I'm on email. I'm busting it. I'm emailing with all you. I'm texting. I'm getting after it. I'm back in the office in just a couple days. And it is spring purchase season. It is freaking busy. It is game on. Let's go. Have a great one. Cheers. Hey, it's KP coming to you live from LA Live. My good friend here, Tony Scoma from National Mortgage Insurance. There he is. Anthony over there. We got some good guys from NMI. They were a sponsor of our sales rally and great MI partner. Just It's an incredible group. And anyway, we're going to Lakers game. So just cranked out 12 hours of work, and now I'm hauling my little butt into Thursday night Lakers game, and then I'm going to go home and grind it some more. By the way, I'm not a Lakers fan. I know I got the purple. They're playing the Wizards tonight. But check this out. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Where's Kobe?
Kobe's right here.
Kobe!
Little magic. Little magic. Kobe's right here. Here's the new one. People love Kobe. Look at this. This is the new statue unveiled by Kobe. It's a big deal. Look at this. So Kobe's obviously an absolute legend, and they just unveiled his statue here. For those that are into LA Kings, this is Luc Robitaille and Oscar De La Hoya. And then my boys, Javier Ruiz and Tony Bolaños, are personal friends with Oscar. Anyway, kind of cool, right? Like, again, I grew up in Dallas. I'm not a Lakers fan, but this is different. Breaking up LinkedIn with some cool stuff, right? So PCE, the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. They call it the PCE, personal consumption. I got tickets. Thanks, bro. The personal consumption expenditure. Watch this. Boom. Just slid down that rail. The Fed deflator came in about what they expected. 0.3, 0.4 core versus headline numbers. So we're 2.8% year over year on the core, which is really what the Fed looks at. They say they look at. Most of that has come from shelter. We all know that buying a house is expensive. And buying a house has been expensive even with rates lower than they are today. So the irony about lower rates, if the Fed cuts the rates and rates go lower, there's more people buying less houses. So prices will go up. So with higher rates, we've kind of found this kind of balance, I guess, if you will. For those of us in the mortgage business, we know that, you know, it's, hang on, is this Chick Hearn? Who's this guy? All the Lakers fans are gonna be pissed at me. It's their announcer, he's got his own statue. When rates being this high have kind of held home price appreciation in check somewhat, but home prices are going to soar if mortgage rates go down because there'll be more demand than the supply. Is there an offset with existing homeowners getting off the shelf and selling their houses? Didn't show up in the existing home sales data today. It's like the lowest it's been since August. That data came out today. I mean, people just flat out in those three. I hear this mortgage rate lock-in debate. Is it real? Is it not? Of course it's real. It's 100% real. There are people that are not moving because they don't want to pay a higher rate and a higher price. Now, that may change over time as they gain equity. the longer time goes by, even at, you know, a 5 or 6% rate, you know, whenever it comes around, you've traded the equity when you sell your house, you know, to the next one, and maybe you put enough down when you sell the house you're in to buy the next one that the payment is close enough, right? Close enough for a better house, even with a higher rate and a higher price. But that generally has not been the case. Having said that, you know, this year, starting off January and February, just better flat out year over year because rates are lower in the last couple months. So that buyer psychology from going from 8% down to where we went in the last couple months, even here, is not bad. So let me talk about inflation for a second, because, you know, again, I'm talking about it because we want rates to go lower. We don't need rates to go lower, but everyone does better when rates go lower in our business. But obviously people are still grinding it out and kicking ass and excelling at a high level no matter what the rates are. People didn't just stop working because the rates are high. Again, LinkedIn is so funny when you hear like hope is not a strategy. Yeah, I talk about rates going lower, and I talk about the Fed cutting because we all want lower, cheaper, affordable housing and money. And so unfortunately though, you know, there's a dynamic there that brings more demand than there is supply. And that is the point I'm trying to make here. The Fed cannot build more houses. They cannot build more houses. Did you know pre-COVID, for 20 years, the PCE average was 2.4%, okay? So we're at 2.4%, 2.8 on the core. For 20 years pre-COVID, the housing and shelter component of the Fed's inflation measure was 3%. We are at 6%. How are you gonna fix that? How are you gonna get home price appreciation as a measure inside the PCE to cut in half? You're not. We're not. It's not gonna happen. So when does the Fed give up? I will tell you this, for all my people out there who are into affordable housing initiatives, you better hope the Fed keeps rates high and does not start cutting. Because that is what's holding home price appreciation at bay. Because once the Fed cuts, and I don't know what that driver is gonna be. I mean, they say it's inflation. You know, you look at Japan, you look at, our bonds are the most expensive in the world, but they're yielding the most for those that invest in it. So that's good if you're selling bonds and trying to reflate the treasury, which is what they are, the Fed, they're bond salespeople. But the poor are somewhat benefiting right now. The lower socio-demographic first-time homebuyer is somewhat benefiting right now because there's less competition because rates are high. But we all know as soon as they cut the rates, the Fed funds rate, interest rates in the mortgage roll will go down and there'll be a lot of competition for not enough houses. The Fed cannot buy houses. So are they gonna start using super core? Remember, there's inflation reports that have food and energy and shelter. There's core inflation reports, CPI, PCE, that core excludes food and energy. Then there's super core. Super core excludes food, energy, and shelter. And it's always a joke, right? Like, well, we need food and energy and shelter. Why would we exclude them? The Fed would start using super core when they finally give up on the fact that they cannot help with housing supply. And that might put the first-time home buyer and the underserved in a very bad position for several years. And my opinion, it's gonna be like Europe. The wealth gap is gonna widen. Get people into houses now, get them into houses now. Tell them this. When the rates get cut, it's going to be expensive and a lot of people are waiting in the wings. Demand and pent-up demand is there. And you've got all these people that if they start selling their houses and they have this equity, they're gonna buy more and more expensive stuff and it's gonna run their home prices up because there's not enough supply. My offset to you, and by the way, that data of the 20-year pre-COVID PCE shelter number that comes from Fundstrat, I know I talk about that, but I want to give credit to that data where I got that from. So let me just leave one last point, okay? I know I've been rambling here and everyone went inside the Lakers game, like first quarter's halfway over. It's Wizards, Lakers, whatever, but it's gonna be fun. So I will just say this, that from cradle to grave, an incredible article written about 2.5 years ago by Ivy Zelman, Zelman Research, which is now part of Walker and Dunlap. Fantastic research. If you have a chance to read From Cradle to Grave, she talks about demographics in America. Demographics, we've been talking about millennials and how there's more millennials each year for like 7 years, and that's what's helping the first-time home buyer. The birth rate in America is not keeping up with the death rate. Now, I'm doing my part, I got 4 kids. But people are not having kids and they are living longer. And the birth rate is not keeping up with the death rate, and that will, at some point, bring this lack of housing supply in balance. Unless we continue to let immigration flow into our country to offset that. So this is a huge trend we have to watch. Have a fantastic weekend. Cheers.
You've been listening to KP Talks Dollars and Cents, a top-rated show for those who want to learn about the economy and mortgage environment. Tune in each week for more episodes, and please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Kevin Perenio does not render or offer to render personalized investment or tax advice through KP Talks Dollars and Cents. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice. For more info, follow KP Talks Dollars and Cents on all of our social channels.